Amen. You can feel the presence of God in here today. Amen. Back row, can you feel the presence of God? I haven't talked to you in a while. Hallelujah. Love you. I can see you. Can you see me good back up here, the front? Awesome. Praise God, 6-1. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, my name is Pastor Harris. In case you weren't here this morning in the beginning, I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and it's an absolute honor to bring God's Word to you this morning. God has something amazing for us this morning, church. I'm excited to preach this message. My flesh is not, but my spirit is very, very excited this morning. What about you? Amen? Amen. Amen. If you've got a bulletin today, please take that out. You got notes in there. I want you to start taking notes if you'd like. It's an opportunity to take something away. Just a reminder, on our website and on podcast, you can always come back to our messages if you would like to listen, or if you missed something or want to replay it or pass it out. If there's a word that really touched you or somebody else that you know that might need it, there's an opportunity for you to go out there and listen. Can you believe it's November? My goodness. This week is supposed to be in the 30s. Aha! Oh, man. Dust off them sweaters, church. And your winter coat, it's coming. It's coming. Praise God for Iowa in four seasons. That is a pretty awesome thing. I know a lot of people are like, man, I wish I could live in Florida and sunny all the time. I'm telling you, you would miss it. You would miss the four seasons. But man, would it be good for a couple years. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. Well, here we are. Week three of this new series titled Fulfilled. It's week three of Fulfilled. We discussed 2 weeks ago, just going to do a quick recap, that we're the most blessed generation in the history of mankind. That's a good thing. That can be a good thing, right? Praise God, we are blessed. But we always seem to crave more, and we never seem to be content. What is wrong with us? It's a conspiracy. Remember what they're between? Three things. Ready? The world, Satan, and our heart. Their group effort is to deceive us to believe that we can find fulfillment somewhere else other than God. Their group effort is like, we're gonna do this. We're gonna try to get everybody to be fulfilled other than God. But we as Christians, we need to long for less to live with and more to live for. Amen? It's not all about us anyway. Look to your neighbor and say, it's not all about you. Now tell them the truth. It's not all about me. Amen. Spouses, all right, chill out. You're really getting into that. It's not all about you. I want to say that for a month. We do marriage counseling here at First Open Bible. And we have good referrals as well. All right. Lay it at the altar, okay? Lay it at the altar. Give it to God. Woo, feel good? Amen, amen. See, God is at the center of it all. All created things orbit around God. He's the center. Everything exists by God and for God. We were all created to glorify God in all that we do and all that we say. Church worship this week is powerful, and I think we honored God. We gave Him glory. Amen? If you did that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says this, "So whether you eat or you drink, or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." Amen. Church, we're not content. And sometimes we're content with too little. We all have our idea, right? Everybody has an idea in here today that would make us happy. I think I know what would make me happy. We have some thoughts about what would satisfy us in life. How do I know that? Well, because we all pursue our dreams, right? The great American dream. We all pursue our dreams. See, we pour our energy, our emotions, our money, and to make our dreams become a reality. Big dreams or little dreams. And if we're spiritual about it, we pray about it first. Amen? I'm going to pray about that first. And if God answers our prayers, finally, He gives us that one thing that's going to make our world complete. You know, sometimes God does make our dreams come true. We get married, we have children, we get an amazing job, we buy a beautiful house, we save for retirement, or whatever it is that was your dream. But that never cures our madness, does it? One dream replaces another dream, and another dream, and another dream. And we find ourselves in this circle of discontentment. The world would have us believe that our discontentment is a circumstantial issue. It's about our circumstances. We believe if we're given the right set of circumstances, people could be happy everywhere, right? If there's just peace in the world, everyone will be happy. And they'd be happy all the time. If everybody had food, if everybody had money, if everybody could do the things that they wanted to do, they could be satisfied everywhere and all the time. We believe these kind of people can actually exist. Don't we? Amen? I'm going to preach better if y'all give me something. All right? Do we believe that that's true? We do. So here's an example. You watch movies or commercials, and you see people having a great time. No worries, no cares in the world. All circumstances are in line with a fulfilled life. You might see a group of people sitting in a wonderful, clean, and ridiculously organized home, right? Nothing on the floor, no dirt anywhere. They're just watching TV, throwing back a few cold ones. They always seem to be laughing at nothing. Stop. Like 12-year-old girls at a slumber party. Right? Why are we laughing? I don't know. All right. That's hilarious. They're totally fulfilled, right? No, church, that's called an optical illusion. It's a lie. Here's the real deal. What they don't tell you is Billy has maxed out his credit cards, fulfilling his latest wants. On top of that, Billy lost his six-figure job 3 weeks ago, and he hasn't told his wife yet. They're just about to lose their ridiculously organized house they just bought last year. So what does he do? He starts drinking to forget the reality of life. He brings some friends over for one last get-together before he tells his wife, and then he has to ask his parents to move his whole family back in until he finds a new job. See, that commercial we see captures the moment the world wants you to believe in. This conspiracy is a lie. Can you say lie? Circumstantial reality is this moment is actually a mess. See, church, our problem isn't a circumstance problem. Our problem is a worship problem. You and I, we are worshipers. Everyone is a worshiper. Non-believers worship, right? I just want you to know this too, just fun little fact. Atheists have faith. I don't believe in faith. You have faith to believe there's no faith. Okay? But everybody's a worshiper. When we were created, worship was woven into our DNA. It's what God created us to do. Isaiah 43, 6 and 7 says this, I will say to the north and to the south, bring your sons and your daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for the glory, for my glory. It was I who created them. God put you and me on this planet so we would worship Him and give Him glory. Simply put, we exist to worship. Jesus said it this way. He said this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. He said, Jesus replied, You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Worship is not limited to singing worship and praise choruses at church. Worship is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All the time. But unfortunately, we regularly experience severe worship malfunctions. Malfunction. Shutting down. We regularly look to circumstances and then end up experiencing severe contentment issues. So biblical contentment cannot be learned unless something else is unlearned. I'm gonna say that again. Biblical contentment cannot be learned unless something else is unlearned. Okay? You ready to unlearn this morning? Right? Wait, what? I came to church to learn. Well, you can't learn unless you unlearn something else. Contentment can't be put in until something's ripped out. The only way to grow in contentment is to undergo the process of identifying and destroying the idols in our lives. Amen. That's what I'm saying. Come on, church. Woo! Y'all get me. I'll be dancing a moment here. This always hurts, but the results are magnificent. Discontentment is a result of misplaced worship. Discontentment is a result of misplaced worship. It's giving our hearts to someone or something that should never have it. When we stake our happiness on anything other than God, we're going to be miserable. Amen. I don't care if you have all the money in the world. People with all the money in the world just search for something else. Or more money. They're never satisfied. Why? Look at Hollywood. There's been more suicides, more overdose on pills in Hollywood than there ever has been in the last 10 years. Why will we be miserable? Because we, along with all other things in creation, were made to worship God. That's why. When we worship anything other than God, we're out of sync with the universe. Guess what that's called? Idolatry. Americans like to ignore this word, idolatry. What? Here's a few idols I believe we have in America. Alcohol. Relaxation. Sports. Entertainment. Entertain me. Church, have you ever gone to church thinking, how are you going to entertain me today? Woo. Man, I have. It's not about us, church. It's not about my entertainment. Pastor, what are you going to teach me today? I didn't really like the music today. When has it been about you ever? Let me move on. Let me tell you right now, I'm preaching to a mirror. Some idols we have in America. Entertainment. How about work? How about our jobs? How about caffeine? Easy now. Somebody said easy now. That, whoever said that's addicted. I don't know if church is ready for that. All right. Moving on. How about our rights? I got my rights. Man, you lost your rights. Jesus had rights, and he laid it down. Lay yours down. How about medication? Do you pop a pill before you pop some prayer? Come on now. Approval of others. I really care what you think about me. Right? Hey. Oh, I got to erase that one. That don't look good. Filter, filter, all right. Now the world can see me. That ain't even you. You don't even have a nose. Right? All those sparkles around you everywhere you go, you always wearing a crown? No. Come on now. Two more idols I thought of this week. How about tolerance? How about hate? Idolatry is loving anything more than God. Anything. You roll out of bed, drink some coffee, or you roll out of bed, get on your knees. Pop meds or pop prayer? Do you go to work every day finding fulfillment, and if you don't succeed, you feel like a disappointment? You want to escape reality with alcohol or drugs or sex or power? You turn on the TV and say, oh, entertain me. Who gets paid the most in America? Actresses, actors, athletes. America, what do we worship? See, idolatry is two things. Okay, it's one of these two. Number one, sometimes idolatry is wicked, sinful, and detested by God, like pornography, drunkenness, drug addictions, abuse, sex outside of marriage, gossip, disunity, unforgiveness, and the list goes on, right? These are idols that God detests. He doesn't like these. But here's the second thing that it could be. Sometimes idols in our lives are things that we see as good. How about sleep? Food? Working? Paychecks? Intimacy with our spouses? And it goes on and on and on. See, it's an idol not only when hated by God and immoral, it's an idol when we love anything or anything at all, even a good thing, too much. When we love it more than God. New York Times best-selling author Tim Keller, he wrote a book, and it's called This Counterfeit Gods. And here's a quote that he said, quote, if anything becomes more fundamental than God to your happiness, meaning in life, and identity, then it's an idol, end quote. See, idolatry is wicked. It's an exchange for the all-satisfying God for a person, a job, a boat, a promotion, or whatever. It's loving the creation more than the Creator. It belittles God when we say, God, I get more joy from this created thing. It brings me more joy than the Creator who invented and created joy itself. What's crazy about idolatry is a lot of times it's subtle. Subtle. It often takes form of a good desire, like excelling at a job. That's a good thing to do. But then it can spiral out of control. An idol can be a good thing that we just want too much. It's a good thing that takes place of the greatest thing. Here's four symptoms of idolatry. They're simple. Okay? Four symptoms. All right? Everybody do this right here. All right. All right. Okay, good. Number one, you're crushed when you don't get what you want. That's number one. Man, I didn't get that promotion. I didn't get that bonus. That girl didn't go out with me. I didn't get that car. I didn't get that loan. Crushed. Number two, you stake your happiness on getting what you want. I think I'll only be happy if I could just get that one thing. If I could just find my spouse. If I could just have kids, right? Number three, you grumble and complain when you don't get what you want. Less amens on that one. Oh, man, I did that this morning. Just wanted some coffee. All right, moving on. Number four, you demand what you want. So if you have any of these symptoms, You're worshiping something other than God. And the result of idol worship is always unfulfillment. Did you know that idols make terrible masters? They demand our love, they demand our thoughts, our affections, they demand our time, our dreams, and our desires. But they never satisfy, and they never deliver as promised. Idols always leave us unfulfilled. 1 John 5:21 says this, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." I bet not one person's flesh in here right now is going, "Yes, I love this sermon. I've been waiting for this. I don't like my idols." Why? Because we've gotten attached to them. We actually like them. But playing with idols is like playing with a boa constrictor. The longer the idol is left unchecked, the stronger its grip is on your heart. The idol crushes your heart until our love for God almost disappears. Now you know this, if you've been here anytime, you know this, if you read Ephesians 6, you know this because God's word says it. There's a war going on, church. There's a war. I'm not talking about the Middle East. I'm talking about the middle of your chest, middle of your head. It's between our flesh and the Holy Spirit. So for Christians, if you're a Christian, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that was powerful. I like that. For Christians, the enslaving power of sin has been broken. Amen. But the presence of sin still remains. The temptation for idol worship is in our face every day. So I want to encourage you this morning about something. Wars were never won in one day. They take time. Sanctification, church word, takes time. But the victory over idol day, it will come. So how do you destroy an idol, Pastor Harris? Should I stop desiring good things altogether? Should I stop trying so hard or stop putting myself out there or stop loving or doing anything or being with anyone? No! The solution to destroying an idol is putting off idolatrous desires. Ephesians 4:22 says this, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception." Before we knew Christ, we worshiped everything but God, didn't we? Everything and anything at all. Anything that brings me pleasure, man, I'm gonna run after that. And they're like, "Oh, yes, it's awesome." See, sin is great for a season. It is. The Bible says so. It's awesome for a season. Then it disappoints. And then it leads you down a road you never, ever, ever wish you were on. See, before we were saved, we loved sex. We loved money. We loved power. We loved movies. We loved jobs. We loved entertainment. We loved politics. See, something was wrong with us. By the way, in your bulletin, you see something in there about voting. Vote. Christians, vote. Tuesday, vote. Right? Vote. You got to vote. So the thing we put in there is from a believer standpoint. They send it to me every year. You might get them in the mail as well. So we just need a copy of that and put that in there. We're not telling you anything or anyone to vote for, but I will tell you this. Exactly what somebody said. Vote the Bible. All right? Vote life. Vote truth. It's not Democrat and Republican and independent and Tea Party and popcorn party. I mean, it's nothing of that. Vote whoever has things that follow after God. To the best of your, there's nobody perfect. You will not like anyone. You don't even like yourself sometimes, right? You won't like everything in this world, and you're not supposed to. We're not perfect. But before you knew Jesus, you worshiped everything other than God. But now that we're in Christ, we must put off idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says this, "So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols." Right? Does it say walk away? Think about it. It says flee, get on out of there. Right? Just like Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Run naked if you have to. Get out of there. Flee. That was one of my favorite stories as a teenager. I was like, that guy was naked, running through. That was crazy. The first streaker in the Bible, that's awesome. I used to love that story, but it taught me something wonderful. It said, run from immorality. Run from sexual immorality. Run from those desires. Don't even tempt yourself. Just get out of there. Church, if you are in Christ, you don't live the same anymore. You don't live the same way. Christ demands our supreme affection. Say supreme. Jesus is jealous. Right? We don't like using that word. But he is. God is jealous. He says he's a jealous God. Nothing is allowed to compete with him for your love and for your worship. So how do we put off idolatrous desires? We do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do." You have no obligation. You don't have to do this anymore. "For if you live by its dictates, you will die." But, there's always hope in Jesus. "But, if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of sinful nature, you will live." Hallelujah. I like to be alive. How about you? Idols can only be destroyed by the supernatural. Say supernatural. Idols can only be destroyed by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. First, we need the Holy Spirit to help us identify our idols. Right? Remember who lies to you? It's the world. It's the devil. And it's your heart. So if you think you're going to just come up with it on your own, your heart will deceive you. You know. I don't really love that much. Right? No, it's not really an idol. Right? You can't trust your heart. Your heart deceives. It's so wicked. Who really knows it? I've read that before. Old Testament prophet said that. First, we need the Holy Spirit to help us identify our idols. Then we need the Spirit of God to give us a holy hatred for our idols. God, I've broken your heart! Because I love that more than you. Yes. Let me hate it. Yes. God, I'm sorry. Number three, we need the Holy Spirit to give us a deep love for God that drives out the lesser loves. God, teach me how to really love you. I'm tired of sprinkling you in my life. I'm a Christian on Sunday and Tuesday. I've lost it all. God, I come on a Wednesday night to get a Bible study. Thursday morning, I'm cussing and I'm drinking and I'm smoking and I'm doing all this stuff in my world, and I love that more than you. God, teach me how to hate it, because I don't hate it. But God, Spirit in me hates it. And lastly, we need the Holy Spirit to give us power over those idolatrous desires. Church, look at me. Look at me. You can't do it on your own. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. We cannot do it on our own. You can't. How do I know that? Because you would have done it by now. Oh, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. You're right. You took one addiction and replaced it with another. Just because you don't smoke anymore and you're now puffing this fake cigarettes doesn't mean that you're set free from it. It's probably worse. Just because you don't look at pornography anymore, but you lust every day, doesn't mean that you are not doing that anymore. It just means you traded one addiction for the other. How do I know we can't do it on our own? Because we would have done it already. But how do I know we can? Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can break bondage in your life. Man, I need this too. God, speak to us. Holy Spirit, identify our idols. They must fall. So how do we do it? When it's time to preach, it's great that you hear a great message. And it's wonderful, right? But I look at the first church in the book of Acts. Did they sit around and learn and then go home and do nothing? People of action, right? Let me learn, let me get more, put it into my life and let me do something about it. We have to not just be taught, but Lord, we need to be doers of God's word. So we have to take action. Just listening will not change your life. So how do we take action? How do we make idols fall? We repent. We repent. Lord, forgive me. What have I done? It's like Peter, you know, looking in Jesus' eyes when he's about to take the cross. And he knows he did something wrong. And it doesn't condemn him. Jesus looks back at him and he says, you know, not out loud, but he says, I'm going to build my church on you. You're going to be the rock. It's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. You lay it down and you ask for forgiveness and then you rise up. You rise up. Idols fall and God rises up. We must turn away from our idols. To repent is two things. It's to change both your thinking and then your behavior. You don't just repent on your thinking. You have to have a behavior. We've done a thing that's been an injustice to American believers for many years. Is they say that you can just say a prayer and you have fire insurance to go to heaven. But that's not in the Bible anywhere. I think we've sent people to hell with a weak gospel message. It's just like repentance. It's saying a prayer. Yes, it starts there. Getting repentant, falling on your knees and asking for forgiveness. But you have to change. If you don't change, has Jesus done anything in your life? See, believers, it says all over the Bible, you don't have to do that anymore. You have the power over that. This is how you once looked. This is how you now look. Does it mean you're going to be over here? No, but it means you're making steps to Jesus. Don't get hung up and saying, I got to be super holy. No, you just got to be more holy today than you were yesterday. Get on your knees about things today that you weren't on your knees about yesterday. You got to look different each and every day. Follow after God. Lay down the idols and follow Jesus. So repenting does not mean you stop desiring to have a spouse or children or a great job. It just means you stop demanding it. I have to have this. I must have a spouse. I must have children. I must have a great job. It means that you ask God to forgive you for loving the gift more than the giver. Gifts are meant to point us to the giver. Thank you for that gift. I do it too. When people give me gifts, I look at the gift and I forget who gave it to me. But really, that person was giving me love, not that item. I got to remember who gave that love to me. That's more important than the thing that they gave me. These gifts were never intended to be an end in and of themselves. Repenting means your prayers for things start to sound different. Instead of coming to God with your demands, like a divine hostage negotiator, all right, God, I will give you those three things if you give me these two things, right? See, you come to God humbly with humble requests. This is what an unfulfilled man looks like. He demands because he isn't getting what he wants or what God owes him. Don't you know I've been following you for 30 years? Don't you know my son should be back with Jesus right now? See, a fulfilled man is astonished that God of the universe would even bless him for doing what his duty is to worship him. God, I'm just astonished that you would even do that for me. Contentment and idolatry don't mix. Jonah 2:8. Not just about a fish, a smelly man. Jonah 2:8 says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. It's impossible to be content in God and worship something other than God. It's impossible to be content in God and worship something other than God. Discontentment starts when we believe sinful lies. Lies about ourselves, lies about idols, and lies about God. We will never say never. Say never.
Never.
That's good. We will never be fulfilled when we get what we want. Listen to that. We will never be fulfilled when we get what we want. I want you to think about that. We will never be fulfilled when we get what we want. I mean, how many remember those prayers when you were younger that you're so thankful God did not answer? God, all right, I will never cuss again if you give me Jennifer. That's my Jennifer. That's my girlfriend. Jennifer is bad news. And Barbara, somebody said Barbara. Sorry, Barbara. You are bad news, girl. God, give me that job. I'm tired of this old one. 5 years later, I went bankrupt. Thank you, God, you didn't answer my prayers. We will never be fulfilled when we get what we want, because God loves us and wants us to find our fulfillment in Him. So He won't allow us to be fulfilled until all idols fall. So we believe we can be content in life by worshiping idols. That's a lie. A.W. Tozer said this: grace will save a man, but it will not save him and his idol. End quote. So if you want joy today, you want to be fulfilled today, the very first thing you must do, and you must do it right now before you leave, is kill the thing that's killing you. Something must die. Idols must fall. Here in a moment, we're going to watch a video, and I'm going to come up and give us one last instruction. But I want to explain something before we watch this video. You want to defeat idols in your life. Will you raise your hand real quick? Hands up all over this place. Holy Spirit. God brought a hammer today. God brought some dynamite. God brought a river. don't know about you, but there's nothing more powerful in this world than a river that never stops. It even goes through rocks. It'll pound and pound and pound until whatever it is that it's hitting will break, will disintegrate, will go down, will follow the current. You want to defeat your idols in your life and give proper worship back to God, you must lay them, your idols, on the altar and let God destroy them. You remember that Old Testament prophet that prayed? And there's all these, was it 450 idols of Baal came? And the fire of God came down? Do you remember that? You remember when they ran for their lives and they slaughtered them all? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God brought a hammer today. God brought some fire today. You know I'm preaching good when I start getting southern. Fire, God is here. Right? God gets like really deep and longer and Jesus. He's like two syllables. Jesus. And you got to bounce. Glory to God and Jesus. Just feel the anointing today, church, because I know that this is exactly what God wants us to hear today. So there's two spellings of altar, right? If anybody knows me personally, knows that guy's going to spell. He can do math all day long, but spelling? Oh, I looked it up. I researched two spellings of altar. There's one, and it's a verb. It's A-L-T-E-R. And what is it? It means to change or modify something. Then there's another altar. It's A-L-T-A-R. And it's a noun. It refers to a structure. We have one up here. This is called an altar. Where you get on your knees can be an altar. And it refers to a structure, and it's used for sacrifices. One thing I know about altars is God alters us at the altar. He has done it in my life over and over and over and over again. You think these people come up here so that you can see their backs? They know they're laying something down. They're letting something die. They're asking God. They're pleading for something. They're so appreciative that He loves them, but He says, I gotta have something else. In the Bible, altars were places where divine and human worlds interacted. Altars were places of atonement, another church word. It's where an exchange happened. You know, the cross was an altar. That whipping post was an altar. That empty grave was an altar. See, God responds actively to our altar activity. An altar is a place of slaughter or sacrifice. See, many idols and wicked things have died on the altar. Many idols and wicked things will die today on the altar. Yahweh, He doesn't need your blood sacrifice anymore. He has Jesus. Praise God. But just because God doesn't need it, doesn't mean that you do not. Ezekiel 37, verse 22 says this. This is God speaking to us, church. Listen to this. They, you, us, First Open Bible, anyone listening on the podcast, anyone who can hear my voice, you will no longer defile yourself with your idols and vile images or with any other offenses. For I, God, will save them from all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. For they will be my people, and I will be their God. Church, it's time to clear the stage in our life.
Clear the stage and set the sound and the lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few and have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what He has in store. And know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful. 'Cause you can sing all you want to, yes you can. Sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. Take a break from all the plans that you have made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. I beg Him please to open up His mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life, until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Then read the word and put to test the things you've heard, until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to, yes you can. Sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. The stage, make some space for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before my God is an idol. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol. And anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. And anything that I give all my love is an idol. 'Cause I can sing all I want to, yes I can. Sing all I want to. The stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols.
Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let Him be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In your bulletin, there are some notes. You'll see it says titled notes on the top there. And right below it, it says on the bottom, idols must fall. Right now, before we wrap up, I want you to write on that piece of paper. Or if you don't have a bulletin or you didn't grab one on your way in, any piece of paper that you may have, it's time to write the idols in your life on that piece of paper. And as we worship, you come up here to the altar and you lay them down. It's time to be altered at the altar, church. Come to the altar, give God whatever idol you have on that paper. Lay it down, repent, and then pick up fulfillment. The altar's open now.